Good morning, everybody. We are incredibly excited today as we jump into a brand new sermon series entitled In the Beginning. And hopefully this is a series you've already been hearing about because we have been gearing up for this time and this moment for a number of weeks. We really see this as a time of new beginnings in a variety of ways as school gets started among us and as we continue to figure out what does it mean to be God's church in this time, because it really is a new beginning with the realities that we find ourselves in today. So I hope you're excited. We are excited. We really believe God can and will use this series in a powerful way. So as we get ready to jump in together, would you join with me in a word of prayer? Almighty God, this day may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, shaking us to new life in you. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today, I want to ask us to begin together at the very beginning. So I want to invite you to join with me in the rereading of Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And as I read these words, just do your best wherever you are to let these words and their meaning really sink into the core of our being. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So begins the most powerful proclamation of all of reality, and simultaneously the greatest written piece of literature of all time. These words, these verses, they are deep and meaningful and profoundly significant. Now, I realized it's only three verses that we're focusing on here, but it's almost unbelievable how much is packed into those three verses. Each one is staggering in and of itself. But then when you put them all together, it leaves us almost breathless in the wonder of it all. Think for a moment about an orchestra. The orchestra is composed of a variety of individual instruments. So think for just a moment about the percussion. The percussion is so powerful. Think about the strings. The strings and the woodwind instruments are enchanting. Think about the brass. The brass cuts through to touch the core of our being. Each one of those instruments is captivating. But then when you put them all together, things like this happen. It's absolutely profound. Again, even breathless in nature. And today I want to ask us to do a little bit of the same thing when it comes to Genesis chapter 1, and especially these verses 1, 2, and 3 of Genesis chapter 1. I want to ask us to examine each verse on its own and to recognize the sheer brilliance of each verse, but then to pull them all together because they do not exist in isolation, so that we start to catch even a sense of the beauty and profound nature of what is being shared with us. So keeping that in mind, we begin today at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Beginnings are interesting things. They are always filled with a sense of great excitement and a range of emotions. And again, sometimes excitement, but also fear mixed in there. There's this swirl that tends to go on within us. I remember still the very first day of college, stepping foot on campus, and as my family drove away, suddenly realizing here I was. And I was simultaneously excited for all the possibilities before me, but there was a sense of fear and loss that all my high school experiences and friends from high school, they weren't going to be with me in this part of the journey. And so there was some sadness. I remember the first day of divinity school, and similarly, I was standing on campus and I was excited for the opportunities and the learning before me, but also wondering, was this farm boy from Pennsylvania going to be able to make it here and to establish relationships, and would I cut it with all the work that needed to be done? I was excited for what could be, and yet my heart was a bit heavy and even fearful and anxious. I remember the very first date that Jen and I went on. I was so excited to be with her. In fact, I was excited, but I was so nervous. I forgot to bring any money to pay for our date on that very first date. So that's unfortunately a true story. I was so excited to get to know Jen better. But it also meant my life of being just by myself and living only for myself was going to fade into the background. And so there was some strange emotions tied in with that. Today is a day of new beginnings for us as well, most likely filled with all kinds of emotions. It's the start of a new school year. And so there's the excitement that comes with learning and making new friendships and seeing old friends and getting started in sports and school and so many other things. But it also means saying goodbye to the summer and vacation and relaxing. And there might even be some nervousness of heading into this year and what all that it will entail. For us as a church, it's also a new beginning. For well over a year now, we have all struggled together on trying to figure out the best way of handling COVID. We've endured shutdowns and maskings and concern for everybody's well-being. And I'm sure there's a part of us that simply wants to go back to life pre-COVID, before there was COVID. And there might be a sadness that we have that we cannot do that. There may be a sense of grief that we're not able to return to those kind of circumstances. And yet, even in the midst of it all, there are opportunities, new possibilities that God begins to give us. And so it can be easy to wonder in this new beginning, you know, what do we do and how do we move forward? Because we do have the opportunity to start afresh and start anew. We have new opportunities with our children and new opportunities with our students and our youth and new opportunities with college students. We have new life groups that are starting and Disciples Journey 1 is getting started. And all of these are wonderful things. And whether we like it or not, we are facing a new beginning. One with challenges and difficulty, yes. One with uncertainty, yes. But also one filled with tremendous possibility and potential about what could be and how God can use God's church in the very moments in which we find ourselves. In all of these ways, beginnings are powerful and mysterious and emotional and full of potential. And so what better place to start than at the beginning as all of us together face a new beginning together by focusing on Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. This very first verse in the Bible tells us some amazing things right off the bat. We hear, in the beginning, God created. That means we are here on purpose. We are not an accident. God created. It does not say God stumbled upon. It does not say God accidentally. It says God created. That means we're not here by chance or by random forces of the cosmos. We're not here by accident. We are here by design. We are here with meaning. In other ancient forms of literature that tell other creation accounts, in all of those, all creations are created from something else. If you read those accounts, there was something that existed prior to the forming of creation, but not here, not in Genesis, not with this God. This God creates from nothing. The literal term is ex nihilo. Means God creates out of God's own being something that was not there at all before. From nothing, God creates. And you know what that means? It means this world, this creation, it's important. It means we should take care of it because God made it on purpose. God made it with plans in mind. God made it good. That means creation then is not here just for us to use and abuse. We're called to care for it. But it also means we don't elevate creation to the status of worshiping it. Because creation is still creation. God is God. Creation is not God. Some of us want to escape this world and not give any focus upon it. And some of us want to elevate this world to the status of worshiping it. And neither of those extremes are what we want to do because of what we hear in Genesis chapter 1, where God made creation on purpose. God is still God, and yet this creation that God gives us to use and to live into and to partner in is still good. One of the things that's happened over these last number of years is that as we have focused on Genesis, we've, I think, lost our shift a little bit on what Genesis 1 is really telling us. The big deal of Genesis chapter 1 is the fact that God made it. And yet over the last number of years, maybe the last 100 years, 150 years or so, instead of us focusing on the fact that God made creation, we've wanted to shift to how has creation been made? And instead of focusing on the who and the why of creation that Genesis tells us, we've instead wanted to start to focus on the how. How long did it take for creation to be made? Was it a process like evolution or not? What exact scientific processes were used to get creation started? And then again, how long did it take to form? And we've gotten into all of these debates about those kinds of questions. And I have to say that's a little bit, or maybe a lot, unfortunate. Because when we get to Genesis, the how questions are not as important as the why or the who questions. On the night that I asked Jen to marry me, now many years ago, I got down on my knees to ask her to marry me. I worked up all the courage that I could to start this new beginning with her by asking her to marry me. I was as excited and nervous as I have ever been. I pulled out the ring, hand shaking, slipped it onto her finger, looked her in the eye and said, "Jen, will you marry me?" Now, as Jen looked back at me in that moment, imagine just this emotion-filled moment. What if Jen's first response to me had been, "Well, where'd you get this ring from? Is that diamond real? How many carats is the diamond? What cut is it? How much did it cost? If it's a little big, can I take it back and get it fixed or resized? Is there a warranty on this ring?" How awkward would that have been? The point in that moment was not the what of the ring, the dimensions of the ring. The point was the why and the who of the ring. That ring symbolized my deep love for Jen and her deep love for me. That moment was about a new beginning that the ring symbolized. It was not a moment that happened by accident. It was not a moment that happened by chance. There was a lot of intentionality, a lot of love for our relationship in that moment. It was about the why of our love together. The same is true when it comes to Genesis. Genesis is about God's intentional love for us. To create here at the beginning and his intentionality, God's intentionality, it's as intentional and purposeful as anything we've ever seen or experienced. So when we start to ask questions from Genesis, such as, well, how did God do it? How long did it take? What processes, God, did you use? We're missing the point. The point is God did do it. The point is the who, God, and the why, to be in relationship with us. The reality is that Genesis, it's not a science book. It wasn't written for that purpose. It's a theology book. It is a love book. It is a relationship book. Genesis is a book that says, you are not here by accident because God created you, as verse 1 tells us. In the beginning, God created. And what we most need to know about the oceans and the trees and the animals isn't so much how the molecules were brought together or organized into units or structured into various dimensions of time. It's the fact that they were on purpose brought together by this God who created them from nothing. So in the beginning, in this beginning, we can know that there's opportunity for purpose and creation and life and flourishing and play. We're not here aimlessly wandering through the universe. We're not left haphazardly to the forces of COVID or war or violence or disease. And we can know all of this because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. And God did that on purpose. Which then brings us to Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Oh man, this is so good. Look at what we have here. Yes, God brings creation into existence, but before the earth was as we think of it now, with the trees and the rivers and the mountains and the animals, it was, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, formless and empty, with darkness over the surface of the deep. To give you an idea of what this is like, I like this imagery that scholar Marty Solomon gives us. He says, formless and void is like putting nothing in a blender and then turning the blender on and mixing it all up. In other words, what is that? Nothingness. The literal Hebrew phrase here, it's kind of a fun one. It's tohu wabohu. Try to say that three times fast. Tohu wabohu. And it means unformed, chaotic wilderness. Boho literally means empty. And so you have this empty wilderness. It's formless and empty. It is chaotic. It's messy. It's just kind of all out there. But here's what I want us to hear in this description. It was, as author Nancy Guthrie points out, not without hope. Why? Because the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God was present even in the messiness and the darkness. Don't miss this phrase. The Spirit of God is hovering over the water. This is a remarkable personification of God. That means this is not a random gas, not a random mist just floating out there over the water. This is the Spirit of God. And the word for hover, it's only ever used in reference to mother birds. So think of a mother bird with fluttering wings. And those mothering birds, their wings, they're fluttering over their eggs to hatch, or fluttering, hovering over their young, teaching them to fly. So get this picture in your mind of this motherly love and tenderness over this formless and dark and chaotic mess. And there we find the Spirit of God hovering over the deep darkness, the unformed earth, almost like a mother hen hovering over her unhatched. Only this case, it's the unhatched cosmos. Just picture here in these moments, something profound is about to happen. There's going to be a breakthrough out of the messiness and the chaos. God, through God's Spirit, as we shall see, and God, through God's spoken word, is about to illuminate and bring order to the creation. God is hovering over the chaos until new life emerges and breaks forth. What a beautiful image. I imagine that we can relate to this passage in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 this morning. We can imagine and relate to formlessness, to emptiness, to darkness, to chaos, to messiness. We've had over a year of chaos with COVID, masking and not masking. We've had distancing and not distancing. We've had in-person worship and digital worship. We now live in a pandemic world. That's not going to change. I've checked with numerous individuals, read numerous reports, talked with a number of church consultants, and all of them are sharing the exact same thing, and that is this, that church attendance across the country right now, everywhere, is down. The estimates are that nearly all churches right now have about 30 to 70% of their pre-COVID attendance now attending. And that includes us as well. Why? There's all kinds of reasons. Some people just got out of the habit. Some people prefer online in the comfort of their homes. Some people have come to realize maybe church wasn't so relevant in my life as I thought it was. Some people have left their church that they were a part of for a church that better aligned with their political views. Some people have realized or believe that they can be fine just by themselves without a larger connection to the church body. And I think some people have realized, oh, if I don't show up for worship, and they don't, and realize I did not get struck by lightning, that, hey, maybe I don't have to go. I mean, there's 100 reasons out there. But the reality is that none of us have ever been in a time like this. And that means, what does it mean to be God's church in this time, in this chaos, in this messiness, in this time of transition when we're not sure, in this time where we thought we might have had a sense of security, and now we're discovering we don't? Our hearts hurt at the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the climate issues and the Taliban situations and the cyber attacks and on and on and on. It can feel so darkless and formless and empty and messy. And sometimes this sense of emptiness haunts us as a nagging ache in our soul that we just want to go away. And yet what Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 tells us is that we are not alone. God is present. God is here, right now, in the darkness, in the chaos, in the fluttering, in the hovering, like a loving mom ready to birth something new. This God is with us in chaos and darkness and brings forth new life. Rest assured, God sees the emptiness in our lives. And when God sees that emptiness, it's also opportunity for great opportunity. Because when we are empty, then we can be filled. We can be filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the one who brings forth life on purpose, filled with the one who defines and brings glory and majesty and splendor and honor and life and play and vibrancy in all of its fullness. What a powerful, powerful image. Know that right here, right now, God hovers with us to bring forth a new beginning, which then brings us to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Notice that God's first act of speaking was to speak light into darkness. Consistent with chapter 1, verse 2, says this God shines light into the darkness or messiness in which we find ourselves. Any messiness that we find ourselves in, God is there and God will speak light into it. But take a closer look here. It's not just the light that I want us to notice today. I also want us to notice the agent by which God brings forth the light. We're specifically told, and God said, which means God offered a spoken word to bring forth the light. Now, how in the world is that possible? How do words have such power to create? Words can encourage and instruct and influence, but how can a word literally create something out of nothing and bring forth light into the darkness? For example, I could right now say something like, "I want my phone to appear right here and right now." I can say that. Phone, appear now. And nothing happens. And I can say it over and over and over again. And nothing happens. Or I can say, "Hey, Katie, would you bring me my phone, please? Thank you, Katie." And I can receive it as it's brought to me. Someone can walk up to me and hand me the phone so I actually get it. A similar thing is happening in Genesis chapter 1. Why can God's word create? Because God's word is a person. An agent. And that word is none other than Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. We hear this described later on in Scripture in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made." Creation comes through the Word, through the agent, through the person, through Jesus. So look what we have here right away in these first three verses found in all of Scripture. We have God creating, we have the Holy Spirit hovering, and Jesus, the Word, manifesting. What do we have? The Trinity. All right here, all in the beginning, all at moment one. God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit, bringing forth light out of darkness and chaos and messiness. All from the beginning. Here we see all of God present. And what this starts to tell us then is that for you and I, in any new beginning that we face, and we are in a new beginning right now, part of what we also want to do is embrace all of God, God Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Notice creation does not happen without Jesus being in the heart of it all. It's not just God Father and the Spirit. Here we have Jesus as central to the whole thing. This word that we find here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it's the same word. the same person, the same agent who will eventually become matter in this world, who will eventually become flesh and blood, Jesus of Nazareth. It's the same word, the same person and agent who will go to the cross someday on our behalf to live the life we should have lived and die the death that we should have died, that we might have everlasting life. Except, get this, that word, Jesus, when he's on the cross, we see the opposite for Jesus as word in that situation of what we hear today in Genesis chapter 1. On the cross, as Jesus spoke, nothing happened. Jesus said things like, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, and it is finished. And with each of these words from Jesus, the word, nothing. No hovering, no God present, no light being shown into the darkness. Instead, not life coming forth, but death coming to Jesus. Jesus was emptied. And again, that spirit not there hovering with Jesus. Jesus is alone. Why? Because on the cross, we have the opposite happening of creation. Jesus was deconstructed on the cross so that you and I could be reconstructed, so that we could be recreated, so that you and I can experience a new beginning, no matter how dark, no matter how messy, no matter how hard our circumstances might be. Jesus had to be unmade so that we could be remade. Do we believe this? Have we received this reality? Today, I want to invite us into a new beginning, one in which, despite the chaos and the craziness, we expect God to birth new life in us as individuals and in the life of us as a church as a whole. Today, I invite us to begin anew. Today, if you are feeling like your life is formless or void or empty or messy, if you feel like the routines and familiar rhythms of life are spiraling out of control, if you feel like your life is empty, devoid of meaning or relationship, if you're struggling to find purpose and direction, then know this. Today, God says to you, let there be light. And that light is Jesus Christ. That light is the one who, again, lived the perfect life and died on the cross for you and I. Jesus, the one who said, I am the light of the world, and continues to invite us to receive that light today. Jesus, the one who can bring order out of our chaos, who can bring purpose out of our meaninglessness. And I invite us today to know this light. I invite us to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord of all in our lives, to embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior by welcoming in our heart and confessing with our mouth that Christ is Lord. And I invite us to do this as individuals, and I invite us to do this as a whole church, because today is a day of new beginnings. We have new life groups that are starting up. We have devotional opportunities to be a part of today and over the next 6 weeks. And I want to ask you, every single one of you, make the journey with us. If you've never gotten involved in a life group, make that commitment today. We'll be happy to help you do that. Please join with us in the devotions that we're going to have focused on Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3 over the next 6 weeks. Be praying for us as our student ministries kick off, especially our children's church opportunities starting on September the 19th at 10 a.m. Join us as Fuse opportunities for our students begin again. Join us in prayer for Disciples Journey 1. Join us on all of these things as God moves among us and as we start this new beginning together. We know that God is with us. We know that God stirs anew based on what Genesis tells us. But if we need even more proof, I want to share this with you. A number of weeks ago now, in fact, 40 days before this current sermon series began, I began asking all of our current life groups, would you pray every day, come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come. And since that time, over the last 40 days, let me share just a few of the ways we are seeing those prayers answered, even as COVID rages on, even as earthquakes happen in our world, even as fighting happens around the countries, and even as hurricanes come among us. Over the last 40 days, we've had 10 baptisms that we've celebrated in, 10 families and children and folks saying yes to the light of Jesus Christ. We've had 5 new life groups get ready and primed to launch. We've had a number of new folks begin to connect with us at the church, especially after first joining with us online. We have had Disciples Journey 1 get started with 10 new people who are going to be part of that journey with us. We helped over 20 homes and nonprofits in the city through Transform. God is doing a new thing. God is raising up a new people for this time. God is offering us a new beginning, and I pray that all of us will be a part of it. Church, you are not an accident. It's not an accident that God wants to use you right here and right now for God's holy purposes in this new beginning. We've only touched on these three verses that we find in Scripture here this morning to start all of Scripture off, and look how much there is to unpack. Do you feel the power? Do you feel the significance? Do you feel the splendor? It's dazzling in nature. This is going to be an incredible experience and series together. And I want to invite you today, will you join us in prayer? And will you experience all the things that we've started to lay out so that in every way we can experience a new beginning in Jesus Christ together? I pray that we will. There is a whole new world of opportunity waiting, filled with possibility and opportunity. So let us join God in it. Let's join God in the beginning.